K cries foul.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Britain's main business organization has attacked what it calls the selfish protectionism of continental Europe and the United States. At its annual conference today, the CBI accused the U.S. and other nations of staggering hypocrisy in blocking some foreign takeovers. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The CBI says many countries, the U.S. included, often pay lip service to free trade. They balk when foreigners try to buy their companies. The CBI cites the case of the U.S. rejecting the Dubai bid for six American ports. But it said France was the worst offender. The French blocked a foreign takeover of a yogurt company, claiming it was of strategic importance. It seems that only the Brits are genuine free traders, says businessman Alan Wood, speaking from the CBI conference.
I think it is disappointing that other countries, particularly other European countries, have not opened their borders, have not liberalised to the same extent that we have in the UK.
Speaking at the same conference today, the US Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson said trade protectionism is on the rise, and he warned it was a potentially dangerous trend. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
ExxonMobil has been stripped of its lease in Alaska's Point Thompson oil and gas field. Now it's exploring legal options. The state revoked leases for Exxon, BP, Chevron, and ConocoPhillips. It says the companies failed to draw plans for the field's reserves. Exxon calls it a major setback for an Alaskan pipeline project. The company has 30 days to appeal that decision. Have you bought a plane ticket lately? If so, you know lots of airlines are hiking fares. Southwest has increased its ticket price 5 times this year alone. It could get worse. Many airports are trying to squeeze higher landing and terminal fees from the airlines. Steve Tripoli says that means you-know-who could be left holding the bag.
Airport finance expert Gerald Dillingham says terminal rents go up for 3 reasons: to pay for safety improvements, gate expansions, and new retail and parking areas.
And you have to make a distinction between what's needed and what might be wanted.
So the friction's over which improvements airports want airlines to pay for. Douglas Kilcommons analyzes airport finances for Fitch Ratings.
It just becomes a complicated situation when the airlines feel that the existing space or the existing airport is not being fully utilized, and they feel that there's no benefit for the higher fees.
Cost-conscious airlines are sensitive about that because it can directly affect their business. Again, Gerald Dillingham.
To the extent that the airlines have to pay more, then you're going to probably see that reflected in ticket prices at some point.
And in a cutthroat competitive environment, that makes airlines more likely to push back when airports try to raise the rent. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
What a waste. More than 8 million bottles of this season's Beaujolais wine will be turned into near-pure alcohol. It will be used for cleaning products instead of enjoyed by wine connoisseurs. The reason? Massive overproduction at French vineyards. Overstock wine could cause prices to plummet, so the EU has been forced to pay vintners to destroy their wine. The market was down on Monday. Investors were concerned about holiday retail sales and the dollar slump against the euro. The Dow tumbled 158 points to 12,121. The Nasdaq slid 54 points to 2405. And the S&P fell 19 points. This is Marketplace. For this week in the history of business, let's take a look into the Marketplace vault. Today we find the golden boy of Hollywood's heyday.
Louis B. Mayer grew up in Canada, helping out with his father's scrap metal business. In his late teens, he moved to Massachusetts. And this week, back in 1907, he opened his first movie theater. Within a few years, Mayer had the biggest theater chain in New England. He sold the business to Marcus Lowe in 1924. As part of that deal, Mayer became the head of a new film studio called Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. He's largely credited with turning MGM into the most financially successful movie studio in the world. Mayer became the first U.S. executive to earn a $1 million salary. But by the late 40s, television was starting to take a bite out of studio profits, and Mayer was eventually fired from the post he had held for nearly 25 years. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The graying of America will have a big impact on the nation's housing patterns. A new study by the Mortgage Bankers Association says different parts of the country will face a variety of demands as baby boomers age. According to the study, suburbs will be the fastest growing part of the national landscape. The country will also face the challenge of absorbing large numbers of young recent immigrants. Hispanic, Asian, and other minority groups are disproportionately clustered in specific areas. Last year, almost half of all Hispanics lived in the top 10 U.S. metro areas. There's a saying that you can never go home again. Well, many young people don't want to, if home is a small town. More and more across America, there's a kind of brain drain going on. Young, well-educated college grads are choosing to settle in larger metro areas and not in small towns. A recent study by the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce shows that city has increased its share of university grads. The city is drawing college-educated people between 25 and 34 years of age faster than any of the other 50 largest metro areas. Commentator Andrew Valencia is a Stanford undergrad. He says it's not just the opportunity of an urban area that's triggering the exodus.
I can't honestly say where I'll be in 10 years. But at this point, I guess it's more likely I'll be living in San Francisco, New York, or even Amsterdam than back in my hometown of Reedley, California. It's the same story across the country, as bright young kids leave small towns for opportunities in big cities. Like many small towns, my town in the San Joaquin Valley is simple, agrarian, and pretty conservative. It has just over 20,000 mostly old-fashioned, church-going folk. Most of the businesses around here are either fast food places, coffee shops, or video rental stores. I can't imagine how someone with a PhD in astrophysics or even women's studies would make a living here. But it's not just the lack of white-collar jobs that pushes young people out of Reedley. It's also a lack of understanding. A few years ago, my school's drama club put on a cabaret show to raise money for college scholarships. It was just a collection of songs and skits, but people here confused our cabaret show with the scandalous Broadway musical Cabaret. Tickets sold so poorly we had to change the name. At Stanford, where I just started, they actually performed the Broadway version of Cabaret. I saw it there last April. It included a dozen college girls dancing and singing in black lingerie and an entire song about a menage a trois. I just kept thinking back to my high school's production of Grease. We had to change Rizzo's famous "I won't go to bed" line to "I won't turn my head" just for the sake of the community. But there may be a silver lining. Small-town conservative thinking can also be hugely motivating. An aspiring actress in my graduating class, I think, said it best. She's rechristened Reedley Fishbowl USA. Since her idea of hell is getting stuck acting in Reedley, she's now motivated to work harder than ever just to get out of town.
Andrew Valencia is a freshman at Stanford University. If you're on the go, take us with you. We're podcasting. You can get more information by going to our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Scientists are mostly agreed about the relationship.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.